the parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT. Give me spots on my apples, but leave me the birds and the bees, please. Got till it's gone. It'd be paradise to put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard my screen door slam. A big yellow bulldozer took away the house and land. Don't it always go to show? You never know what you got till it's gone. Hey, paradise, they put up a parking lot. Hey, pay paradise, they put up a parking lot. Hey, pay paradise, they put up a parking lot. Hey, paradise, they put up a parking lot.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR. I'm Stephen Schutte. From time to time on this program, we like to go through the files and cover some news stories that we think will be of interest to our listeners.
I'm Susan Schutte. These stories we'll read tonight cover a range of environmental issues. Believe it or not, there is some good news about the environment, along with the bad that we hear about so frequently. Without being Pollyannish, we'll give you a balance.
Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Neil Yelland, a financial advisor with Edward Jones in Chico. No matter where you are in life's journey, Neil can offer guidance and strategies for wealth and retirement, income, college savings accounts, estate and legacy plans, charitable giving, and more. For a consultation or more information, Neil can be reached at 530-345-8913. He's on the corner of 3rd Avenue and the Esplanade. Neil Yelland, Edward Jones, member SIPC. And we're supported by the Epperson Brothers Ken Po Jiu-Jitsu Dojo in Chico, creating solutions for students to increase self-esteem, agility, self-defense, awareness, and confidence. At Epperson Brothers Ken Po Jiu-Jitsu Dojo, your child will enter a nurturing experience to foster self-esteem and develop meaningful friendships through the summer months. Details by calling 530-895-8257. They're located at 1215 Mangrove Avenue, Suite B in Chico. The opinions expressed on Ecotopia do not necessarily express the views of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, or programmers.
June 5th marked World Environmental Day, a great occasion to raise environmental awareness and encourage action on urgent planetary issues. While the climate crisis has many factors that play a role in its exacerbation, there are some that warrant more attention than others. Here are some of the biggest environmental problems of our lifetime. An article written by Dina Robinson in Earth.org describes the 12 biggest environmental problems of 2022. Global warming from fossil fuels. At the time of publication, CO2 parts per million is at 418, and the global temperature rise is 1.1 degrees Celsius compared to its pre-industrial levels. The last time carbon levels on our planet were as high as today was more than 4 million years ago. Increased emissions of greenhouse gases have led to rapid and steady increase in global temperatures, which in turn is causing catastrophic events all over the world, from Australia and the U.S. experiencing some of the most devastating brush fire seasons ever recorded, locusts swarming across parts of Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, decimating crops, and a heat wave in Antarctica that saw temperatures rise above 20 degrees for the first time. Scientists are constantly warning that the planet has crossed a series of tipping points that could have catastrophic consequences, such as advancing permafrost melt in Arctic regions, the Greenland ice sheet melting at an unprecedented rate, accelerating the sixth mass extinction, and increasing deforestation in the Amazon forest, just to name a few. The climate crisis is causing tropical storms and other weather events such as hurricanes, heat waves, and flooding to be more intense and frequent than ever before. However, even if all greenhouse gas emissions were halted immediately, global temperatures would continue to rise in the coming years. That is why it is absolutely imperative that we start now to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions, invest in renewable energy sources, and phase out our fossil fuels as fast as possible.
Number two on Earth.org's list of the 12 biggest environmental problems of 22 is poor governance. According to economists like Nicholas Stern, the climate crisis is a result of multiple market failures. Economists and environmentalists have urged policymakers for years to increase the price of activities that emit greenhouse gases, one of our biggest environmental problems, the lack of which constitutes the largest market failure, for example, through carbon taxes, which will stimulate innovations in low-carbon technologies. To cut emissions quickly and effectively enough, governments must not only massively increase funding for green innovation to bring down the costs of low-carbon energy sources, but they also need to adopt a range of other policies that address each of the other market failures. A national carbon tax is currently implemented in 27 countries around the world, including various countries in the EU, Canada, Singapore, Japan, Ukraine, and Argentina. However, according to the 2019 OECD Tax Energy Use Report, current tax structures are not adequately aligned with the pollution profile of energy sources. For example, the OECD suggests that carbon taxes are not harsh enough on coal production, although it has proved to be effective for the electricity industry. A carbon tax has been effectively implemented in Sweden. The carbon tax is US$127 per ton, has reduced emissions by 25% since 1995, while the economy has expanded 75% in the same time period. Further, on the topic of governance, the writer says that organizations such as the UN are not fit to deal with the climate crisis. The UN was assembled to prevent another world war. It is not fit for the purpose. I'm going to quibble with that toward the end. Anyway, members of the UN are not mandated to comply with any suggestions or recommendations made by the organization. For example, the Paris Agreement within the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change says that countries need to reduce greenhouse gas emissions significantly so that global temperature rise is below 2 degrees Celsius by 2100 and ideally under 1.5 degrees. But signing on to it is voluntary, and there are no real repercussions for noncompliance. Further, the issue of equity remains a contentious issue, whereby developing countries are allowed to emit more in order to develop to the point where they can develop technologies to emit less, and it allows some countries, such as China, to exploit this. To editorialize just a bit, I understand the arguments here. I'm personally skeptical of carbon taxes. I was skimming a couple of articles before the show today, and it's not clear that carbon tax income really goes into green energy sources. A lot of it, turns out, goes into, quote, general funds, and we know how those are used or misused. And there's also the whole issue of being able to afford the carbon tax. Big industry, profitable industries can afford the tax. They can pass the cost of the tax on to their consumers, contributing to inflation, and go along polluting merrily as usual. End of my editorial comment.
The third environmental concern in earth.org, the biggest of 2022 and maybe all time, is food waste. A third of the food intended for human consumption, around 1.3 billion tons, is wasted or lost. This is enough to feed 3 billion people. Food waste and loss account for a third of greenhouse gas emissions annually. If it was a country, food waste would be the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases behind China and the U.S. Food waste and loss occur at different stages in developing and developed countries. In developing countries, 40% of food waste occurs at the post-harvest and processing levels, while in developed countries, 40% of food waste occurs at the retail and consumer levels. At the retail level, a shocking amount of food is wasted because of aesthetic reasons. In fact, in the U.S., more than 50% of all produce thrown away in the U.S. is done so because it is deemed too ugly to be sold to consumers. This amounts to 60 million tons of fruit and vegetables. This leads to food insecurity, another one of the biggest environmental problems on the list.
Fourth on the list is biodiversity lost. The past 50 years have seen a rapid growth of human consumption, population, global trade, and urbanization, resulting in humanity using more of the Earth's resources than it can replenish naturally. A recent World Wildlife Fund report found that the population sizes of mammals, fish, birds, reptiles, and amphibians have experienced a decline of an average of 68% between 1970 and 2016. The report attributes this biodiversity loss to a variety of factors, but mainly land use change, particularly the conversion of habitats like forests, grasslands, and mangroves into agricultural systems. Animals such as pangolins, sharks, seahorses are significantly affected by the illegal wildlife trade, and pangolins are critically endangered because of it. More broadly, a recent analysis has found that the sixth mass extinction of wildlife on Earth is accelerating. More than 500 species of land animals are on the brink of extinction and are likely to be lost within 20 years. The same number were lost over the whole of the last century. Scientists say that without the human destruction of nature, this rate of loss would have taken thousands of years. We're reading some stories, news stories. These first four are pretty bleak, and we hope as the day progresses we'll get a little bit less bleak, but let's take a break and listen to a little happy music.
Tell me why the grass was greener years ago, I swear it used to grow here, but no more here. Tell me why on this hill all the birds they used to come to fly here, come to die here. And tell me why I need to know. Sometimes I wish I didn't have to know. Always show me. Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day or two? Don't give up on me, I won't give up on you. Just believe in me like I believe in you. Kids that used to come to run here, load their guns here. And tell me why it's okay to kill in the name of the gods we pray. Tell me who said it's okay to die in the name of the lies we say. Tell me why there's child soldiers. Tell me why.
In 1950, the world produced more than 2 million tons of plastic per year. By 2015, this annual production swelled to 419 million tons and exacerbating plastic waste in the environment. This is number five on Earth.org's list of environmental problems in 2022. This is plastic pollution. A report by science journal Nature determined that currently roughly 14 million tons of plastic make their way into the oceans every year, harming wildlife habitats and the animals that live on them. The research found that if no action is taken, the plastic crisis will grow to 29 million metric tons per year by 2040. If we include microplastics into this, the cumulative amount of plastic in the ocean could reach 600 million tons by 2040. Shockingly, National Geographic found that 91% of all plastic that has ever been made is not recycled, representing not only one of the biggest environmental problems of our lifetime, but another massive market failure. Considering that plastic takes 400 years to decompose, it will be many generations until it ceases to exist. There's no telling what the irreversible effects of plastic pollution will have on the environment in the long run.
We already spoke about species extinction, and a big part of that was loss of agricultural and other and forest lands. Number six on the list, a separate item, is deforestation. Every hour, forests the size of 300 football fields are cut down. By the year 2030, the planet might have only 10% of its forests if deforestation isn't stopped. They could all be gone in less than 100 years. Agriculture is the leading cause of deforestation, another one of the biggest environmental problems appearing on this list. Land is cleared to raise livestock or to plant other crops that are sold, such as sugarcane, palm oil. Besides for carbon sequestration, forests help to prevent soil erosion because the tree roots bind the soil and prevent it from
washing away.
Which
also prevents landslides. The three countries experiencing the highest level of deforestation are Brazil, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Indonesia. However, Indonesia is tackling deforestation, now seeing the lowest rate since the beginning of the century. Number seven on the list of environmental problems is air pollution. One of the biggest environmental problems is outdoor air pollution. Research from the World Health Organization shows that an estimated 4.2 to 7 million people die from air pollution worldwide every year, and that 9 out of 10 people breathe air that contains high levels of pollutants. In Africa, 258,000 people died as a result of outdoor air pollution in 2017, up from 164,000 in 1990, according to UNICEF. Causes of air pollution mostly comes from industrial sources and motor vehicles, as well as emissions from burning biomass and poor quality due to dust storms. In Europe, a recent report from the EU's Environmental Agency showed that air pollution contributed to 400,000 annual deaths in the EU in 2012, the last year for which data was available. In the wake of COVID-19 pandemic, attention has been put on the role that air pollution gases has in transporting the virus molecules. Preliminary studies have identified a positive correlation between COVID-19-related mortalities and air pollution, and there is also a plausible association of airborne particles assisting in the viral spread. This could have contributed to the high death toll rate in China, where air quality is notoriously poor, although more definitive studies must be conducted before a conclusion can be drawn.
Eighth on the list of Earth.org's list of major problems, although it's hard to see how one classifies these, in a sense they all 12 of them are too important to be ignored. But number eight, melting ice caps and sea level rise. The climate crisis is warming the Arctic more than twice as fast as anywhere else on the planet. Today, sea levels are rising more than twice as quickly as they did for most of the 20th century as a result of increasing temperatures on Earth. Seas are now rising an average of 3.2 millimeters per year globally. They will continue to grow up to about 0.7 meters by the end of the century. In the Arctic, the Greenland ice sheet poses the greatest risk for sea levels because melting land ice is the main cause of rising sea levels. Representing arguably the biggest of the environmental problems, this is made all the more concerning considering that last year's summer triggered the loss of 60 billion tons of ice from Greenland, enough to raise global sea levels by 2.2 millimeters in just 2 months. According to satellite data, the Greenland ice sheet lost a record amount of ice in 2019, an average of a million tons per minute throughout the year, one of the biggest environmental problems that has cascading effects. If the entire Greenland ice sheet melts, sea levels would rise by 6 meters. Meanwhile, the Antarctic continent contributes about 1 millimeter per year to sea level rise, which is a third of the annual global increase. In addition, the last fully intact ice shelf in Canada in the Arctic recently collapsed, having lost about 80 square kilometers, or 40% of its area, over a two-day period in late July. The sea level rise will have a devastating impact on those living in coastal regions. According to research and advocacy group Climate Central, sea level rise this century could flood coastal areas that are now home to 340 million to 480 million people, forcing them to migrate to safer areas and contributing to overpopulation and strain of resources in the areas they migrate to. Take Shanghai's megalopolis, for example, which is built around the low-lying Yangtze River Delta. As the fourth most populous city in the world, the flood risk in the area is high due to its geographical position. Any flooding caused by a higher rainfall can potentially be catastrophic in relation to evacuation, water management, and property damage.
Number nine is ocean acidification. Global temperature rise has not only affected the surface, but is the main cause of ocean acidification. Our oceans absorb about 30% of carbon dioxide that is released into the Earth's atmosphere. As higher concentrations of carbon emissions are released, thanks to human activities such as burning fossil fuels, as well as effects of global climate change, such as the increased rates of wildfires, so do the amount of carbon dioxide that is absorbed back into the sea. The smallest change in the pH scale can have significant impact on the acidity of the ocean. Ocean acidification can have a ripple effect across marine ecosystems and species in its food webs and provoke irreversible changes in habitat quality. Once pH levels reach too low, marine organisms such as oysters, their shells, and skeleton could even start to dissolve. However, one of the biggest environmental problems from ocean acidification is coral bleaching and subsequent coral reef loss. This is a phenomenon that occurs when rising ocean temperatures disrupt the symbiotic relationship between the reefs and algae that lives within it, driving away the algae and causing coral reefs to lose their natural vibrant colors. Some scientists have estimated coral reefs are at risk of being completely wiped out by 2050. Higher acidity in the ocean would obstruct coral reef systems' ability to rebuild their ecoskeletons and recover from these coral bleaching events. Some studies have also found that ocean acidification can be linked as one of the effects of plastic pollution in the ocean. The accumulating bacteria and microorganisms derived from plastic garbage dumped in the ocean due to marine ecosystems and contribute towards coral bleaching. So everything is interrelated, mm-hmm. and everything affects something else. And so it's a cascading effect.
Yeah, we've already talked about loss of biodiversity, loss of forests. Now here's agriculture. Studies have shown the global food system is responsible for up to one-third of all human-caused greenhouse gas emissions, of which 30% comes from livestock and fisheries. Crop production releases greenhouse gases such as nitrous oxide through the use of fertilizers. 60% of the world's agricultural area is dedicated to cattle ranching, although cattle only make up 24% of global meat consumption. Agriculture not only covers a vast amount of land, it also consumes a vast amount of fresh water, another one of the biggest environmental problems on this list. While arable lands and grazing pastures cover one-third of Earth's land surfaces, they consume three-quarters of the world's limited fresh water. Scientists and environmentalists have continuously warned that we need to rethink our current food system. Switching to a more plant-based diet would dramatically reduce the carbon footprint of the conventional agricultural industry.
Next on the list is food and water insecurity related to other things that we have just talked about. Rising temperatures and unsustainable farming practice has resulted in the increasing threat of water and food insecurity and taking the mantle as one of the biggest environmental problems today. Globally, more than 68 billion tons of topsoil is eroded every year at a rate of 100 times faster than it can be naturally replenished. Laden with biocides and fertilizer, the soil ends up in waterways where it contaminates drinking water and protected areas downstream. Furthermore, exposed and lifeless soil is more vulnerable to wind and water erosion due to the lack of root and mycelium systems that hold it together. A key contributor to soil erosion is over-tilling. Although it increases productivity in the short term by mixing in surface nutrients, e.g. fertilizer, tilling is physically destructive to the soil's structure and in the long term leads to soil compaction, loss of fertility, and surface crust formation that worsens topsoil erosion. With the global population expected to reach 9 million people by mid-century, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations projects that global food demand may increase by 70% by 2050. Around the world, more than 820 million people do not get enough to eat. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says, unless immediate action is taken, it is increasingly clear that there is an impending global food security emergency that could have long-term impacts on hundreds of millions of adults and children. He urged for countries to rethink their food systems and encourage more sustainable farming practices. In terms of water security, only 3% of the world's water is fresh water, and two-thirds of that is tucked away in frozen glaciers or otherwise unavailable for our use. As a result, some 1.1 billion people worldwide lack access to water, and a total of 2.7 billion find water scarce for at least 1 month of the year. By 2025, two-thirds of the world's population may face water shortages.
Here's another mini editorial. I'm still bristling over that earlier comment that the United Nations is not fit to make major changes in the environment. personally think the UN is very fit to do so, but it does operate on a voluntary basis. But if you look at in yours and my lifetime, Susan, and we've been around as long as the UN has been, the UN is involved in all sorts of major projects, recommendations. The problem is not that they're not fit, but maybe that humankind is not paying attention. 12th on the list, and then we're going to...
And this is the final...
This is the final doom and gloom, right, of the... Fast fashion and textile waste. The global demand for fashion and clothing has risen at an unprecedented rate that the fashion industry now accounts for 10% of global carbon emissions, becoming one of the biggest environmental problems of our times. Fashion alone produces more greenhouse gas emissions than both aviation and shipping, and nearly 20% of global wastewater, around 93 billion cubic meters from textile dyeing. This, according to the UN Environmental Program. What's more, the world at least generated an estimated 92 million tons of textiles waste every year, and that number is expected to soar up to 134 million tons by the year 2030. This rapidly growing issue is only exacerbated by the ever-expanding fast fashion business model, in which companies rely on cheap and speedy production of low-quality clothing to meet the latest and newest trends. While the United Nations Fashion Industry Charter for Climate Action sees signatory fashion and textile companies seeks to commit to achieving net zero emission by 2050, a majority of businesses around the world have yet to address those roles in climate change.
This involves a lot of material that's polyester and nylon, you know, clothing that is microplastic. And I don't see why we need to make any more clothing. If you go to thrift stores, you will see them loaded with perfectly usable, perfectly, if you want to do fashion reuse, go ahead and do that. But we don't need to create any more textiles. And those industries can provide another way of contributing. While these are some of the biggest climate problems plaguing our planet, there are many more that we haven't mentioned, including overfishing, urban sprawl, toxic Superfund sites, and land use changes. While there are many facets that need to be considered in formulating a response to the crisis, they must be coordinated, practical, and far-reaching enough to make enough of a difference. This is Ecotopia on KZFR. This is Ecotopia on KZFR, and tonight we are bringing you news from other sources. Our first contributions came from Earth.org about the biggest environmental problems plaguing our planet. This is from Mike.com, and this is from a column that provided a weekly look at five good things happening around climate change. So here's the good news. They're just bits of good news, and they're here and there, but it's what we need to do. This was first published online on April 29th. So this is from this last spring and early summer, and it comes from several weeks of their reporting. From reports of rising temperatures to increased natural disasters, climate news sometimes comes off as, well, as Steve said, all doom and gloom. The world is heading to an apocalypse, and all of our efforts to stop it are futile, right? No. Wrong. Our writer says, I won't lie, we have a long way to go in solving climate change and its underlying causes like colonialism and capitalism. But with any major social movement like this, you need to learn to identify the small wins as they come. Otherwise, you'll burn the F out. The small wins are out there, though. Don't believe me? Check out this list of good climate news that showcases the world is far from being a lost cause.
IKEA will start selling solar panels. You want solar panels for your home? Now you can get from them from the same place that sells your favorite furniture and meatballs. Swedish retail giant IKEA is getting ready to sell home solar panel kits in its retail stores in California. As part of a partnership with SunPower, the company will allow people to pick out a roofing solar system and battery storage unit, which will be installed by professionals, saving you from having to try to decipher the instructions. This isn't the first time IKEA has offered retail solar panels. It launched a similar program in the United Kingdom a few years ago, selling photovoltaics for about 9,000. Doesn't say how many photovoltaics you get for that amount. The fact that it's making its way to the U.S. could help expand access to solar panels, which can often be cost prohibitive and difficult to navigate.
Australia is building a high-rise powered by the sun. Imagine a skyscraper that is entirely self-sustaining. That's exactly what Australia is seeking to build. In Melbourne, construction is underway on a new high-rise office building that will be entirely powered by solar panels that will be plastered all over the building's exterior. That's where you need them to get the sun. Not only will the building be carbon neutral, but the developers believe that it will also eventually generate enough solar power that can be sold to utility companies that it will be able to pay off the carbon debt of construction, too. As far as the atmosphere is concerned, it'll be like the building never even existed. The plan is for the building to go into use as soon as next year.
More good news, a good project. The FAA has new rules to limit emissions on commercial flights. Commercial flights account for more than 3% of all carbon emissions generated by the United States each year. The FAA is looking to cut that figure down considerably. A new plan proposed by the agency would seek to push the aviation industry closer to the goal of net zero emissions by 2050. The rule would impose new efficiency requirements on all commercial planes that are certified after 2028, requiring them to significantly reduce their emissions. The rule is open-ended, so manufacturers and airlines can either pursue more sustainable fuel sources or explore other innovations in aerodynamics, just as long as they are reducing emissions.
And here the Pentagon is doing something good. It's testing floating solar panels. A new plan being explored by the Department of Defense would place solar panels on barges and float them on the Big Muddy Lake in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. The plan is for the array to generate enough energy to power the nearby military training grounds, providing carbon-free electricity in the region. Floating solar panels are particularly appealing because they can be located on lakes where there is no tree cover and ample sun. Should the Fort Bragg plan work as intended, similar projects may start cropping up across the country.
Here's one especially interesting and one I have a lot of questions about. Wood turbines might give wind power a boost. Wind and solar power is considerably cleaner than fossil fuel burning alternatives, but manufacturing the materials that generate the energy still releases emissions. One of the world's oldest timber companies is seeking to address that by building massive wind turbines entirely out of wood. Stora Enso is creating a 330-foot prototype of its wooden wind turbine to prove that not only would the material cut down on construction emissions, but could also actually provide more stability. The higher you build a steel tower, the more material is needed to hold the weight. Wood doesn't require the same reinforcement, meaning less material is needed.
So here's some good news from the federal government and Biden's recommendations. He used emergency measures to produce more solar power. The climate crisis is absolutely an emergency, and the best way to address it is to acknowledge that fact. The Biden administration took one step toward doing that this week, and this was in June, with President Biden invoking the Defense Production Act to ramp up the production of solar panels. He also waived some tariffs on solar-related imports in order to meet the moment. The decision is significant, as the federal government appears to be all in on clean energy production. Between this and its recent embrace of heat pumps, the Biden administration appears ready to significantly reduce the emissions produced by the national electric grid, which currently contributes 25% of all carbon production. The goal is to reach 100% clean energy by 2035, and solar will be a key piece of that.
Colorado is banning PFAS in oil and gas-based products. You might be shocked to learn all of the things that come from gas and oil. Plastics, cosmetics, glasses, and so many other everyday items all involve the use of petroleum to produce. It sucks, but Colorado is trying to make it suck a little less. The state is banning the sale of all petroleum-based products that intentionally contain PFAS, industrial chemicals that have been linked to adverse health effects in humans. And we heard about that a couple weeks ago from our friend Carrie. Oh, dear.
We lost her name.
Starting in 2024, everything from food packaging to household products that are sold within Colorado's borders will have to be PFAS-free. According to the state, the chemicals are, quote, not necessary in many products, could be replaced with less harmful chemicals or technologies. PFAS have been linked to climate change, so getting them out of the product cycle is a win for the health of humans and the planet.
So these are just little things, but they're all important. Research shows that U.S. can cut emissions by half by 2030. Before taking office, Joe Biden set out the ambitious but necessary goal of reducing U.S. emissions by half before the start of the next decade. It turns out that goal is imminently accomplishable as long as we don't half-ass it. Researchers recently published a paper in Science that shows the U.S. can absolutely halve its emissions in less than 10 years, and there are multiple pathways to get there that are readily available for us to take. The study found that embracing emission reductions won't carry much of a cost, and investors likely won't lose out on any of their sweet, sweet profits if we make the shift. It just requires embracing the right policies to get us there, and the Biden administration is already pursuing a number of the ones needed to accomplish the goal. The study shows that we're getting close to being on track. We just have to keep going. This is Ecotopia on KZFR, and we are looking at news from various sources. This from Mike.com, which is looking at little pieces of good news, but from all over, that give us hope.
When your love's
You're listening to Ecotopia on KZFR, and we're bringing you some news items tonight. Good news, bad news. The last ones are small bits of good news from Mike.com. We'd be interested in hearing from you, ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com. What you think about this balance between the huge global catastrophes that we described in the first half of the program and whether the kinds of things we're describing now in the second half can make a significant difference. We also want to remind you that coming up at the top of the hour, Bobby Tryon will be here. Her guest tonight is Jimmy
Brobeck. We've only known him for
this is post-COVID,
the whole time we've been
convinced. Jimmy Brobeck of Aqua Alliance talking about preserving North State water. Here's another one for an item from Mike.com. Boston is getting roadside compost pickup. More than 100 billion pounds of food ends up in U.S. landfills each year. One of the best ways to combat that waste is through composting, and one of the nation's biggest cities is embracing a new initiative to offer curbside pickup for compostable waste, which will turn tossed food into clean energy. Boston residents will be able to opt into a weekly compost pickup, which will take place curbside, much like waste and recycling pickups do. According to the city, one-third of its trash collection is food waste, so the program will shift that into a more sustainable alternative. It will also convert the compost into fertilizer and biogas to actively utilize the waste instead of burning it or letting it decompose. And we have similar legislation in California at the moment, and our own Neil Road landfill, as we've heard on this program, is working, figuring out ways to handle that compostable food waste.
And there are places in California that have already enacted this. I was visiting my family in Half Moon Bay last week, and they now have a compost bin that goes along with their recycling bin and their trash bin. So we're moving forward on this same thing here in California. Another piece of good news, and we should all try to model this, single-use plastic is getting the boot from national parks. Single-use plastics are terrible for the environment, so there's always a kind of sick irony in using these plant-destroying products while enjoying nature. The U.S. Interior Department sees the contradiction and is finally correcting it by banning single-use plastics from national parks.
Hurrah.
The phase-out, which will take place by 2032, that's a long ways from now, too far away, will see our national parks replace the wasteful plastics with more sustainable alternatives. That includes ditching all the currently wasteful versions of straws, food containers, cutlery, bags, cups, bottles, and more that are utilized across the country's national reserves. And we need to do that. Steve and I have been talking how devastating it was with COVID that you couldn't use your own container when you're getting takeout coffee or tea or whatever at local coffee shops. And they are now getting back to allowing you to use your own. But there are also other ways to avoid single-use plastics. The Natural Food Store, S&S, have things like shampoos and soaps and detergents that you can refill your own container so that you don't have to throw away your containers every time they're empty, but can refill them in some of the stores locally.
A very different kind of progress. Seagrass is adapting to climate change and turning into a carbon sink. Coral reefs have long been a reliable carbon sink, sequestering the emissions that we produce and keeping them from reaching the atmosphere. But while the reefs have been struggling with climate change, another underwater carbon lover is emerging and seems to be successfully adapting to the conditions caused by our excessive emissions. Seagrass, not to be confused with seaweeds, have been growing on the ocean floor at an incredible rate. A new study found that a species of the underwater plant known as Poseidon's ribbonweed has been effectively cloning itself for the past 4,500 years and now covers an area the size of Cincinnati This is a single plant. We read about this in the ER a couple weeks ago. That way, the way it reproduces has helped it stay resilient, and now it is serving as both an effective water purifier and a source of carbon storage. I see a sci-fi movie growing out of that.
Well, I see the Earth really wanting to succeed and continue, and we just need to give it a hand and do our part. The European Union is trying to do its part. It cut emissions by 34%. It made a promise to cut emissions to 20% below 1990 levels by 2020. Now, a new analysis shows that not only did the country achieve this goal, they blew it away. According to data published by the European Environmental Agency, the EU managed to cut its emissions by 34% below 1990 levels. While part of that drop was the result of the pandemic, the EU had already hit its 20% target by 2019. So even an uptick in 2021 wouldn't dent the accomplishment. The success has the region targeting even more ambitious goals for the end of the decade. Yay!
Now here's one. It's the topic for another sci-fi film. A U.S. company is building the world's largest bioreactors for no-kill meat. Shades of Soylent Green. Meat production is quietly one of the biggest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions. It can be hard to change that without having people change their diets. But a U.S.-based company is investing in an alternative that could make meat lovers happy. Good Meat, that's the name of a company, announced it has signed a contract to build massive bioreactors, the largest in the world, to produce cultivated meat. This isn't plant-based protein or some other alternative. Cultivated meat uses animal cells that are collected from eggs or cell banks. This means no actual animal is raised or slaughtered, which not only makes the production more ethical, but also significantly reduces its carbon footprint. Good Meat claims it will be able to produce as much as 13,700 metric tons of meat by 2030 in its bioreactors.
And more good news from Europe. The G7 countries made good on their pledge to end overseas fossil fuel developments. One of the biggest achievements of the 26th UN Climate Change Conference, COP25, held last year was a pledge by a number of developed countries to end fossil fuel drilling overseas. This week, the G7 countries, Japan, the United Kingdom, the United States, Canada, Italy, and France, have made the promise a reality and signed a formal agreement to stop funding foreign oil exploration. Not only will this arrangement end the flow of foreign cash into land exploitation projects, but it also is projected to lead new investments in clean energy. As much as $33 billion will leave the fossil fuel business and should flow into efforts to build infrastructure for wind and solar power instead.
We have one more, and it probably won't surprise you. Electric vehicles are taking lots of gas off the road. The transportation sector is one of the biggest sources of carbon emissions. Luckily, electric vehicles are gaining in popularity, and in fact, they're being legislated into existence. The result, a surprising amount of emissions have been taken off the road while people fuel up by merely plugging in. According to a new analysis published by Bloomberg NEF, electric cars have resulted in 1.5 million barrels per day less oil being burned. EVs are trending way up, too. The leading sources of oil reduction have actually come from two- and three-wheeled electric vehicles. Buses accounted for just 16%, passenger vehicles for 13% of the lessened oil demand. While that is lower than you might expect, that means those two sectors are the fastest growing and the areas with the most room for growth. That means more EVs should be on the road soon and the need for oil should keep dropping. We hope so.
You have been listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological. Be sure to visit our website for notes and recordings of recent programs, plus an ever-growing list of resources provided by our guests. The web address is ecotopia@kzfr.com. We also welcome your comments and suggestions. Send us an email at ecotopia@kzfr.com. We're thinking about continuing. We have a lot more news, and we're thinking about continuing this kind of exploration of what's new in good environmental news, and then maybe some more bad news. But we'll think about continuing this next week. So join us for Ecotopia, KZFR 90.1. Thanks for listening.
You are the new day. You are the new day.
Up next is North State Give and Take, and it's made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothes and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years and is located at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling the Cotton Party at 893-4923 and by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information by calling them at 898-9525. Welcome to North State Give and Take on KZFR. My name is Bobby Tryon. Today on North State Give and Take,